This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Hello there and welcome to Sunday Arts Magazine on Joy 94.9. And of course, it's Radiothon, and that was the amazing Jane Baddeley. If you don't know anything about her, well, you've got to live and learn and get hold of her. That's a track called Wrong People. A Melbourne artist, but international fame. And I've got a co-host today who often is on the show with me anyway, or we're in week three of this show anyway. But Brendan, welcome.
Thank you very much, David.
Now, it's Radiothon.
It is.
What does Joy mean to you?
Well,
how long have you been involved?
Well, I've actually been here about a year and a half now.
Right.
I did start off quite slow. Slow and steady wins the race, as I say. I finally got into the taste of radio and did get a taste of radio and caught the bug, really. And the lovely Paul Anthony, he sort of helped me a lot and pushed me to, learn more and actually got me onto the other side doing all the panelling as well. And yep. Then we were proper co-hosts for a little while.
Yeah, because it's so important what this station does, isn't it? It's a voice for our community, but also the broader community. The wonderful thing about Melbourne is it's such a very special city. It's so embracing of everyone, and community is a very, very important part of Melbourne's lifestyle. And it embraces this station, and it's just going from strength to strength. And we've got so many diverse listeners as well. Like the shows we have, we also have that with our listeners. And to the extent we have, a lot of straight people that listen to us.
I was going to say, yes. We do have the spectrum of the GLBTI community, but we also do have a lot of allies.
Yes.
That religiously listen to the station. They might have their favourites.
Yep.
But that's great. Yeah. We do sort of cater to everyone out there, really.
We do. Now, on the show today, we've got Jonathan Walsh coming in. Amazing man, incredible man. And he's got a new show coming up, which we'll find out all about there. Of course, you will be doing your film review.
Yes.
as we get stuck into it. But I just want to start off because this week it's the first anniversary of Geoffrey Smart. Now, Geoffrey Smart, the Australian painter who had such an impact on me, Brendan. It mm-hmm. was really amazing. He was very playful, a lot of private jokes with his art and the illusion that he created, because he started, he studied, I should say, architecture and art. Mm. That's what he did. He grew up in Adelaide. His father didn't want him to do either. His father was a businessman. But you are talking about a long time ago. Mm. And being an artist would have, for a working class family would have been a hard thing, and for him to have this love of art and an understanding of it, and ended up being one of the greatest mm. Australian artists of all time.
Yeah, I suppose unfortunately art was seen as like a luxury, a profession to get into.
I think it is still to this day, as a painter. Mm. It's a bloody tough a tough call, and what you've got to do actually to get to the end of the road as an artist. He was lucky. He did become famous within his own lifetime, and his paintings would have sold for a lot of money, but to get there, I'll just give you a little bit of a snapshot. As I said, he was born in Adelaide. He studied art and architecture, much to the dismay of his father. At 27, he worked on a ship to get to England. It was back many, many years ago. And for the next 2 years, he travelled Europe and visited all the main galleries and studied and learnt art and blended the classical with Cubism, which Cubism you can reflects heavily in his art, because it was very new then, and it's that whole three dimension, which I love it, and I'm so jealous that, that people can paint that way. Mm-hmm. And then he came back to Sydney, back to Australia, but lived in Sydney in 1951 and worked as a teacher, and then became an art critic because, you know, you need to pay the bills. And I suppose because he'd travelled overseas and a bit flamboyant, you know, he's part of our family, you know, like, and would have been a bit of an interesting character. Well, interviews I've seen with him, he was. And then he had a show on ABC Radio, which was called The Argonauts, and it was a children's program introducing them to art, which then became a TV show. And Smart was in the first week of broadcasting with TV in Australia. So how bloody exciting would have that have been?
That's incredible.
Yeah. And, you know, like, who would have known where TV was going to go? And, you know, like, he was there. And, of course, his love for art, he kept on painting and, you know, like, being on the radio show and then TV show would have helped pay the bills so he could paint. And he started to have successful exhibitions here in Australia. And, of course, his most one of his pieces that we know so well, which is the Cahill Expressway. Now, you've had a look at this one, haven't you?
I have, because I'm quite a novice when it comes to art.
Yep. And this one here, if you've ever been to Sydney and spent a bit of time, or if you lived in Sydney, I know this expressway quite well, because it actually takes you onto the bridge, onto the Sydney Harbour Bridge from down in the Rocks area. It's above the rocks, and it's very stark, the painting, but also very powerful. And what I love about it is there's often a person just standing off centre and in this stark, no cars on the road or anything like that. And then this is stark painting with a person just standing there, hands in his pockets. And, you know, like, there's no bus stop or anything like that. So, you know, like, in peak hour, he would almost be swept away with it all. So very funny in that respect, that that's what I love about him so much. And then, you know, like, yes, as I said, there was that exhibition. Then he his art took him back to Europe, and he became, you know, like, very famous over there. Lived with his lover, or his partner, his male partner, in Tuscany, and that's where he died, at the little farmhouse that they lived in for many years. And other paintings that I really love of his is if you go to the Fairfax Theatre at the Arts Centre, if you go downstairs into the foyer just before you go into the theatre, there's all these train carriages, and they're container carriages, and it's, again, it's that stark, very colourful that he would often have, and that's all it is, and with beautiful tree lines along the way, but it's all very stark, and the impact of it's great. So just go there and have a look one day, because it's I just love it so much. And then, of course, there's the very funny one of the Leaning Tower of Pizza, where he has got it leaning in the background, but it's in the middle of a used car lot or a car yard. And then there's other fantastic paintings that he did where he used a children's play gym from a playground and made it as if it's a sculpture. And it's just so basic. So we look at it and go, that's a jungle gym, as they used to be called. But, you know, he's made it look like a piece of art in the middle of this painting. You know, he's just... his imagination, his thought, everything he did just impresses me so much, and I just love him, and we celebrate his life. And now, unfortunately, he's no longer with us, but we've got this beautiful artwork that he's done that we can have for the rest of our lives.
But do you think that is sort of a symptom of art itself? You know, most people, you know, only get real recognition after their death. Is that sort of a sad thing?
It is, but, you know, as I said, he did become famous while he was still alive.
One of the lucky ones,
but it's a tough gig. You know, any artist out there, I take my hat off to you, because it is a bloody hard gig. You're on Joy now. It's Radiothon. please ring up and join up. We'd love to be able to read your name out on the radio this afternoon.
Have we? Yeah, we've got a wade of memberships coming through. Rob from Carlton,
right.
Also Wade from Bond Beach,
yep.
And Stephen from Alvington,
right.
Also Colin from Heidelberg Heights, Vince the dog of
right.
Rosebud. I don't know how he did the online thing, but anyway. a little bit hard with pause, but we also had Anthony from East Melbourne. Thank you so much, yep. Our loyal Joy listeners, for either becoming a new member or renewing your membership. But we've made it really easy, even easier this year. But if you do want to call our fabulous volunteers in the phone room, it's 1-300-JOY-949. It's 1-300-569-949. Or they've made it super easy on our website, joy.org.au.
Yeah, but ring up and join, because it adds to the interest of it.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB TIQ Community Radio Station Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are on Joy 94.9. This is the Sunday Arts Program with David and Brendan. Now, that was Baby Lad Lulu, which is two Australian girls singing French songs. How gorgeous is that? Yeah. So it's Abby Dobson, which a lot of people know. And
yes.
Lara Goodridge. So, a beautiful album. It was released a couple of years ago. It's often played around my house as I'm cleaning and stuff. It's very, very beautiful.
That was stunning. It made me think of the movie Livy and Roz.
Yeah.
That was lovely.
Yeah.
Transported to France.
Now, something exciting is happening in Fed Square, which there always is.
Well, they're always doing something there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I actually went into NGV today, but I'm talking about something else.
Yep.
It's the Light in Winter.
Mm.
So it is at Fed Square between the 1st and the 22nd of June this year.
Now, this is the 8th year.
Yes. Yes. And they've had a few recurring events as part of Light in Winter, but there's also always something new as well.
Right. And it's directed by Robin Archer, who know very much about Robin Archer?
No.
Okay. Well, Robin Archer, I'm in awe of her. This woman has done and achieved so much, and she travels the country. I've never known anyone to work as hard as she does. And she, is artistic director of a lot of events, but she's a performer herself, as in a singer, songwriter, musician. She is very, very good and done a lot of theatre over the years. And a lot of Melbourne people would know her because she, as a performer, has performed so much by herself. She doesn't do it quite as much these days because she's too busy directing a lot of stuff, but quite a legend in Australia. As a matter of fact, she would be a living legend here in this country now. We shouldn't talk about how old she is, but she's been around a fair while, but still very vital. As a matter of fact, I did interview her on Joy a couple of years ago for this festival in Fed Square, and she's so dynamic and so got so much to talk about that you can't get a word in because she's just splurting it out with excitement.
Well, to build around your life around it, you have to have that passion.
Yeah. And coming up with all the people who exhibit and all the community groups, because it's very, very heavy on community groups, isn't it?
Definitely, yeah. My role, doing the Federation story there, a lot of the stories that would come through were from groups, and the spectrum of people that, get to either exhibit there or have their events held there. It's just incredible.
Yeah.
I don't think people realise just how much they sort of give back to the community. It is a sort of give and take situation.
Oh, absolutely.
There.
But with this particular festival, actually they use a lot of community groups too, don't they?
Yeah. Definitely.
Well, and what can you tell us about it, considering that you're involved with the Federation Square?
Yeah, well, I generally have a writing position with them, but I'm actually doing sort of an attendee job, and it's a very special position doing looking after their the fire extends a welcome to the traditional owners of the land, and it's a hub for the Rich program of fireside events. So
right.
Basically, this fire runs for the length of the festival
right.
up until the solstice celebration.
And that's there every day,
isn't it? Yes, every day. So it's kept kept the fire burning all that time, which is fabulous. It's sort of it's the glue that holds the festival together.
Right.
So
now there's also a major piece that they have each festival, isn't there? Last year it was quite spectacular. Mm. You could see it from miles away.
Yeah.
What's the centerpiece this time around?
Well, this one is Radiant Lines, and it's an interactive, illuminated and interactive sculpture from London-based artist Asif Khan, and it's his first Australian commission.
Right.
So it's an exploration of line, rhythm, velocity and volume, and is designed specifically for Federation Square.
Right.
So I honestly can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be magical. I think they've sort of tested it out a little bit, and yes, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So I think that's, every day it'll be there.
And the wonderful thing about it is all free.
It is,
Because it's in the middle of Federation Square.
Which is great. You can't miss it.
You can't miss it.
At the same time, which is fantastic. So, you know, obviously a lot of people know about it, but at the same time, a lot of people, passers-by, come in and they're just mesmerised by it.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and it's good because this is probably one of the few actual exhibition festivals that Federation Square put on themselves, isn't it?
Yeah. Normally it is, you know, they get people in. So this is sort of, self-managed. But, you know, it is a very collaborative event. You know, I don't have, part of that side of it, but just looking at people trying to organise it, it's a huge undertaking.
Yeah. Well, as Robin Archer has said to me in the past, it takes a lot of people to pull it together. I just come up with a concept, and people feed me what I should do and what I shouldn't do, and we take it from there. So it's really interesting.
Honestly, can't wait. So that's on. Well, starting today.
Started today. Yeah. So the lights will be shining tonight. There
will be.
Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome.
I can't wait.
Now don't forget to sign up. It is Radiothon, and we need your money. We need your money to stay on air. It costs us over $3,000 a day to stay on air, which is pretty amazing.
Yes. Now, David, we have got a message in from Chris. He just wants to know the name of the artist you were speaking about earlier.
Now I don't know which one. Jane Badler?
No, I think it was...
The two girls, the French girls? Oh, you mean you're talking about the actual painter. Jeffrey Smart?
Yes,
Jeffrey Smart. Amazing artist. Oh, didn't I finish off by saying it was Jeffrey Smart? Sorry, Chris.
But Chris, if you are interested, there was a big piece... in the Age today.
No, it wasn't today. It was
today.
Actually yesterday.
Oh, yesterday.
Age.
But if you want to look it up, amazing sort of... Yeah, it's great that... You know, there is this spotlight put on some amazing artists.
Well, especially considering how much impact he has had in Australian art.
And also a big thank you to Daryl of Q for also becoming a member.
Excellent.
So thank you. Keep it up, Joy listeners.
Yes, you're on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Yes, that's A House of Bamboo by Bobby Fox, who... do you know who Bobby Fox is?
Well, I've only heard of him in the last couple of weeks, but...
Yeah, Jersey Boys.
Very impressed, yes.
Yeah, the voice of Jersey Boys and Miranda Kerr, just off the album, is the track with Amanda Kerr as well, which is incredible. Now, it's Radiothon.
It is Radiothon, and we did have Daryl signing up before, but I forgot to mention and send our best wishes, because Daryl's a little bit under the weather.
Oh.
He's been a bit sick this weekend, so we just want to give a special Joy shout out and hope we lift your spirits, Daryl,
yes.
And hope you feel better ASAP.
Yes, exactly.
But thank you so much for becoming a member or renewing.
And the phones have been going well out here, so keep it up, everyone. It's a really important time for this radio station. Now, we have got somebody who blows me away every time you hear anything that he's done. I always love to interview him, and he's, he just is relentless. He just doesn't give up. So welcome, Jonathan Walsh. But, we just love everything you do.
Thank you so much, David. And it's great to be here with Joy FM, and congratulations for all the wonderful work that Joy does too in bringing our community together. And I think really binding the community here in Melbourne. It's just a fantastic radio station.
It is, and we're going from strength to strength, like you are as well. Tell us about your new production.
Well, I suppose Choir of Hard Knocks, first of all, is called Choir of Hope and Inspiration now, and they're about to celebrate 8 years in September.
Wow.
Believe it or not, it's 8 years since they were we formed them, and the last couple of years I thought, how can I really take all the knowledge and experience that I've had with this program, but also Sydney Street Choir that I created 14 years ago, and expand the programs. So we've now got the School of Hard Knocks, which is, I thought, well, I just have a choir and I can have a whole school. And we have ukulele programs and African drumming and keyboard and creative writing and a program called Streetwise Opera and drama programs. And my dear friend, Dr. Kathleen Maguire, who is the current music director for Melbourne Gay and Lesbian Chorus, wonderful Melbourne musician and a great Melbourne lesbian. Kathleen and I have known each other for probably the last decade since my work. I was music director of Sydney Gay and Lesbian Choir in the late 1990s and then came back and was music director for Melbourne Gay and Lesbian Chorus for a couple of years here. Kathleen came back to Melbourne last year and has a great heart for this work in helping disadvantaged people share the joy of music and building their confidence and self-esteem through and these kinds of programs.
It is, isn't it? Music is one of those things that does combine everyone together because it's so universal, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's it is that universal language. And now with the School of Hard Knocks, Kathleen is the co-chair of the school with me, which is wonderful. And I suppose my there are two things I wanted to do was, firstly, to be able to pass on the knowledge that I've got and people like Kathleen who've worked in this area and build the capacity of other people. So it's really kind of my succession plan, I suppose, over the next decade to build the school. And we have also with the other programs, we have quite an expansive choral program now of about 10 choirs around Melbourne and Victoria, including the first asylum seeker choir called Voices Without Borders that I created about 4 months ago here with the Australian Multicultural Education Service. And but it's been stirring in the back of my mind for a couple of years. I mean, we've seen a lot in the gay community over the years, all these bashings going on, and now there's all this coward punching and shocking, terrible violence on the streets. And I wanted to write a work for a couple of years to honour those people who have died homeless or innocent or nameless on the streets of our cities here, you know, in Australia and around the world. And so Kathleen coming back last year was the impetus for me to start writing this work, and we collaborated together with another wonderful one of our teachers, Andy Payne, who's the head of our drama and our creative writing at the School of Hard Knocks.
Right.
And we spent the last 9 months writing the first street requiem for Mast Choir, and it's a 50-minute piece. It's a new Australian work. It's a multi-movement work that's also multicultural, and I think takes not in only great ethnic diversity, but also multi-faith as well too. And we're premiering it this Saturday night, Saturday, June the 7th, at 7 o'clock at the Melbourne Recital Centre.
Which, again, how special would that be for the choir to be on that incredible stage in that beautiful building as well?
Well, I think it's one of the things that I've made a commitment to with this work is we know all the great things that singing and community music can do, but I think raising the bar is very, very important in our community. And you know, you're having wonderful musicians like Kathleen here as well too, and bringing that professional expertise of many years is very important for us to be the best that we can be, and that's my commitment to all the work that I do, is to, you know, give the people the best possible opportunities that they can. And we've also got the Melbourne International Singers Festival over the weekend, which is a fundraising arm of the school, so I've now created a whole sort of series of events to help fundraise for the School of Hard Knocks, because it's a very difficult climate, as we know, with funding and you know, everything that's happening with the budget, etc. And so I'm also bringing out two of the world's gospel experts from Alabama who arrive here on Tuesday to work with the Mast Choir of between 400 and 500 singers. There's a big gospel concert on Sunday night at Deacon Edge at 7 o'clock, and a big concert at Deacon Edge on Monday afternoon as well too. Big celebration.
You're going to be exhausted. You're doing so much.
Well, I think You get to a certain age, David, that I've really thought long and hard about what it was that I wanted to do in the next decade. I mean, I'm 56 in October, and you're supposed to go, oh, you don't look 56.
Oh, you don't look 56.
Oh, really? Oh, get out.
Actually, you don't. Yeah,
it's music,
don't.
You know, and it's like doing a really big workout when I'm working with, I've just come from a 3-hour rehearsal with all the choirs now, and it's a great joy to have the opportunity, I think, to make that contribution back to the community through music and through singing. And I just want to leave that legacy, I suppose. We're now starting our programs also in Brisbane and Sydney in the second half of this year, which is very exciting. So my vision and my dream for the building of the school and creating the capacity of other people who might be either working or retired musicians or painters or potters or drama teachers, etc. As well as we've got some fantastic patrons, Eddie Perfect's on board now.
Oh, excellent.
And Virginia Gay, and we've had, we've got some really great people in the in the entertainment industry that I've wanted to create the opportunity for those people to have the opportunity to engage with this sector as well too. So it's an exciting time, but the Street Requiem is a very exciting project, and I suppose that's when Kathleen and Andy and I step out onto stage as not only conductors but as composers now of a major work that we hope will go around Australia and around the world.
Now, how has the choir reacted to it? Were they a bit nervous about it, especially considering it's going to be the first time?
They are pretty nervous. They've been working really hard. It's a big movement, and it's a big work. We have crafted it specifically for community choirs and even school choirs as well too.
Right.
And we've gifted it to the school so that as the work gets performed around Australia and overseas. In fact, we've already had inquiries from Jonathan Pallant, who's the director of a wonderful choir and a gay and lesbian choir in Dallas, Texas, to perform it next year in the United States. So it's really a work that is for everybody.
Yep.
And I think, there's a lot of sadness about our loss of safety and our sense of loss of freedom on the streets. And so many people feel scared and nervous about going onto the streets with what we've seen happen with beautiful Jill Maher. And, we had the homeless man here in Melbourne under the bridge murdered earlier in the year. And even about 5 or 6 weeks ago when I was going to rehearse, we have a choir in Sunshine that's supported by Brimbank Council. And the night I was going to that rehearsal, there was a stabbing on Sunshine Station, and some of our choir members were there and witnessed that.
Oh, really?
And it was our first rehearsal for Street Requiem. And so this work, I think, has great meaning and resonance for many of us in the community that have seen, I think, too much violence and really that loss of that sense of safety on our streets here in Melbourne.
It sounds very sad, but very moving and important, and it's great that you're doing it. So
thank you, David. Look, it's meant to be a celebration. The music is some of it's very joyous.
Yeah.
The Gloria that Kathleen in fact wrote is gospel style, and it has also, she's just been to Africa in January this year, as I've been twice to Uganda, believe it or not, before they brought in the laws, thank goodness. The last 18 months I've worked in Uganda with the African Children's Choir, but she's interpolated into one of the pieces, the Gloria, Senza Nina, which means what have we done. And that particular work is in memory of all the children who have died on the streets senselessly of our world. But it is in memory, and it is meant to be a celebration as well as an opportunity for us, I think, to have reflection and find peace through this work.
So 350 voices.
Yes.
A lot of members. And as you said, it's voices from Borders.
Voices Without Borders, yes.
And School of Hard Knocks. It's at Recital Centre this Saturday night, which
7:00.
The 7th at 7. So, Jonathan, thank you so much for coming in today.
That's a pleasure.
And you can book through the Recital Centre, which is pretty easy to find.
It's recitalcentre.com.au.
Right.
And if you want to know any more about the festival, you can go to schoolofhardknocks.org.au.
Right.
But most importantly, I'd like to ask everybody that's out there listening to put their hands in their pockets and support the radio station that they're listening to.
Thank you.
right now. In fact, I should go out and pay my membership.
Yes,
Brendan, I better go and do that.
We'll
right
get you onto
now.
It. But we've actually had a message in for you, Jonathan, from Atoll and Eric. Oh. They just wanted to say a big hello.
Oh, Atoll and Eric, bless them. I haven't seen them for quite a while.
Oh, they're big supporters of
A bit of history. Atoll was my first boyfriend.
Oh, really? Oh, my God.
Many years ago. Bless you, Atoll and Eric. I love you both. And I'd love to see you on Saturday night if you can come along.
Yes. Oh, that's very sweet. Thank you again for... You're in the middle of rehearsals. You rushed here to get here today. Thanks so much and good luck with
that's
it all.
That's a pleasure. And please keep supporting Joy FM.
You're on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're on Sunday Arts Magazine with David and Brendan, and that was A Blue Drag, funny enough, featuring Kate Sobrano, and I'll See You There. What a beautiful track that is.
Stunning.
From an album a couple of years back, but still one of my favourite. Kate Sobrano, what a voice.
Yes. She was in here not too long ago.
Yes.
Actually, with Leo, I think.
Yeah. Mm. And I think somebody else as well, because she's just written her own book.
Yes.
And apart from being an incredible singer, of course she is artistic director of the Adelaide Cabaret Festival. Mm. And this is her last one. So you do it for, I think it's 3 years, and this is her last one, and everyone raved about how good the people were that she brought into Adelaide for the Cabaret Festival. So it's coming up. I think it's almost on now. So a lot of Melbourne people go over to Adelaide for that Cabaret Festival.
Certainly do.
Yeah. Now we've got a couple of things to talk about.
I did want to come back to this. So the lovely Eric, he did message through, and he also said that NGV, that's the National Gallery of Victoria, have been given a fantastic Jeffrey Smart painting dated from 1988.
Right.
So it's not on show yet, but it should be sometime
soon. Oh, okay.
And from the same collection, NGV has been given a Henry Moore drawing and sculpture.
Wow.
And an Andy Warhol painting and a Renoir. That's incredible for NGV.
Yes, it certainly is. And those two lads, Eric and Atoll, are big supporters of the NGV and have donated some great art to them as well. So they're big supporters of this radio station, Eric and Atoll, and that's what we love them so much, apart from they're nice people as well. But don't let
that's
me...
That's always a bonus.
Yeah, but don't tell them I said that.
Yeah. We won't pass that on.
No, we won't.
But in talking about our members and stuff like that, we've also got another member joined up.
Oh, okay.
Rob from Fitzroy, thank you so much as well.
Thank you, Rob.
The phones are running hot, so if you do want to get onto it, 1300-JOY-949 to become a member or renew your membership.
Absolutely.
We'd love you to stick around.
Yes. Now, on Friday Breakfast.
Yes, we've got a very special Friday Breakfast on the Murphys this Friday from 7:30 till 8:30. Proud Joy patrons Gary Singer and Jeffrey Smith return for their annual dollar-for-dollar donation show. So it's really exciting time. They do it every year.
Yes. Now don't get confused. A lot of people get a bit confused where they think it's the member. If they join up then, it's not joining your members. No. It's the dollar-for-dollar donation. So you donate $5, $10, $100, $1,000, and they match it, but they're not matching membership. That's separate. Yep. They can't. There's some legal thing that we can't do it that way.
Yep.
So membership, like now or any other show, or Friday Drive is a very good time to actually...
Who's on that show again?
I wonder. Yes. So, but this is a dollar-for-dollar donation on next Friday morning on Murphy's Law.
And that's a fabulous thing. The one really easy thing to do on the website is to just do a donation. So if you don't have enough money, and you still want to support this amazing radio station, you can put a donation in rather than become a member. Like, we would love you to become a member. Don't get me wrong.
No.
But you can also have the option of doing a donation on your membership.
Absolutely.
So, fantastic way, how you want to give back to Joy. It's up to you.
Yep.
And you can also go into the draw for some amazing prizes as well.
A car.
Yes.
A trip. Like a whole outfit.
Ugh.
Suit, jewellery, shoes. Oh, you name it.
I want all the prizes. We can't go for them, unfortunately.
A bike that folds up. A push bike. And you put it in the boot of your car. And somebody said, why would you want to put it in the boot of your car? You should be riding there. But you can ride and take it in your car somewhere a long, long way away and get out and then ride around.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. Well, so Friday is the special day for our Dollar for Dollar breakfast show and drive.
And drive show drive is show. The last time you can become a member.
Exactly. And what's the show on before your show, David?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. I think that might be me. No. I'm getting around a little bit this week. I'm actually going to be on Simone's show as well, so I have to try and think of some new shtick. Right. But Friday is the day, Joy listeners. It's the last day of Radiothon. Yep. And your last chance to really, you know, get the dollars into the station so we can create some amazing radio like we are now.
We do. And we certainly do. Now,
speaking of...
We're the film review.
Yes, we're going to squeeze it in. Mm. We've been talking about everything today. We got very excited, David.
Yes.
But I've been very excited this week. I did preview these films in last week's show, so I was really looking forward to seeing X-Men Days of Future Past from director Bryan Singer.
Do you know what? No desire.
No desire.
No desire to go
Lordy.
And see it.
Oh, my gosh. Have you seen any of the sequels?
No.
Or any of the films? Well, that's probably the issue, David.
that might be the issue.
But the funny thing is...
and I love Hugh Jackman. Love
yes,
him.
Yes, and he's still very built. He's definitely... you know, doing well with the working out. But this is the director of the first and the second film. He's come back to direct this one a little bit down the line.
Okay, now they go back in time or something.
They do go back in time.
See, I know about it.
Yes. So it's basically two timelines they're going with, you know, future X-Men and the past.
Right.
The 1960s, I think it is.
And what's it like?
It's fabulous.
Yeah?
Well, it is from a gay director, so what can you expect? But it ties together the cast from the last sequel, which is a completely new, younger cast, generally, and the original cast back from 2000. So they do amazingly to bring them together, and they're sort of working alongside each other, the actors. So
and the story, is there enough of a storyline there? Or,
oh, it's an incredible story, because it's actually based on one of the most popular comics from the X-Men series. So fans of the actual comic books will be very happy with this, so I'm told.
Right.
I'm not a huge comic book fan, but I do love comic book movies, so I was very, very happy with it as well.
Right, okay.
So I really would give it probably 4.5 stars.
Okay.
Very,
ooh,
yeah.
4.5.
If you're looking for just an action film, great. If you're looking for a drama, because there is that... the subtext of being gay as well as being an X-Men.
Oh.
So maybe you should watch it on that alone. But it's fantastic. But I can't go any further without talking about another film that I saw.
Yes.
An Aussie film from a fantastic director, Jennifer Kent. It's called The Babadook. Funny name, fantastic movie. It's actually an Aussie horror. But not a gory horror, sort of more of a psychological, supernatural thriller.
Right,
and it's set in Adelaide.
Right.
Which is fabulous because, you know, most Aussie films are set, you know, Melbourne or Sydney.
No, do you know what? A lot of them are in Adelaide because they get a lot of funding.
Well, that's true. And
funding.
It was helped a lot from...
the South Australian Film Corp.
Yes, and Film Australia. So, but hugely successful film, you know, not so much commercially. It is doing well, actually, commercially, but the critics are raving about this film.
Right.
You know, mainstream critics.
Yep.
Generally not so happy with horror films, but getting 5-star, 4-star reviews across
and
the board.
And anyone that we know in it?
Well, it's actually got Essie Davis from... I've forgotten the show she was in. Mrs...
What TV show?
I've lost it.
Oh,
the ABC.
The crime one.
Yes.
Yeah.
The mystery show.
Yeah, her. She's in it.
It is her. She plays the mother.
Oh, because that show, I can't remember what it's called as well. But when I've
Mrs. Fisher's Mystery.
That's right.
Yes.
When I've seen it, I loved it. A lot of fun.
Yes. Yeah. Well, she is a powerhouse in it. She's asked a lot in the role. So, you know, it's her and her son for the most part.
Okay.
And she's got to go through the rounds.
Oh, good.
So even if, you know, it's more like... even a supernatural drama.
Right.
Put it that way. So even if you might be, you know, not a bigger fan of horror, I'd say give this one a try.
Okay.
So
sounds
get
good.
Onto it. And also some exciting news. There's a documentary called Life Itself that's coming out soon from director Steve James, which focuses on the world-renowned film critic Roger Ebert.
Right.
Who sadly passed away not long ago from cancer. And I'm really excited about it, David, because, you know, I'm into film criticism and all that kind of stuff. But he was, you know, a tastemaker. He influenced the way people thought about film, talked about film, and, you know.
And he was fairly old when he died, too. Is he the American guy?
He is the American guy,
and he had Face reconstruction.
Yeah, yes. Some sort of, he had had really sort of aggressive cancer of the face.
Yeah,
so,
And loved. He was so loved by everyone.
Exactly.
It
he yeah. was. He was harsh, but but fair.
Yeah,
fair. So I think that's the way to be a critic.
Okay, so it's a doco on him.
It is a doco, so that will be coming out sort of later in the year.
Okay,
so
excellent.
That's my prediction of hopefully a good film.
Right. Next week, we've got to talk about Angelina Jolie.
Yes. Getting divisive reviews.
Well,
somebody
that I was speaking to yesterday actually said they have heard that she's so much better than the film.
Yes, that's what I have heard.
Yeah, that she is so good in it.
Yes.
It's a shame the film doesn't live up to the standard that she's created.
Yes, I'm a big Angelina Jolie fan.
Right.
I don't understand the hatred towards her from some people. So
I think it's...
justified.
Yeah.
but I'll try and go see the film during the weekend. Let our listeners know next week what I thought of it.
Thanks for everything today.
Thank you very much, David.
And we'll see each other on Friday.
We certainly will.
For the end of Radiothon.
It's going to be a huge day. So if you can listen in, that'd be fantastic. And if you haven't renewed your membership or you haven't become a new member, Friday is definitely the day to do it. If you can't do it today.
Yes.
Obviously.
No, Friday. Do it Friday. Friday afternoon or Friday drive now.
Otherwise, still get mad.
Yes. You're on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.